Dr. C here. Before we begin, I'd like to make sure that you're aware that this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp is a leading provider of online therapy, and they provide video, phone, or live chat sessions with a licensed professional therapist. It's affordable, and you can connect with your therapist within 48 hours. Now, as a special offer to our Surviving Narcissism listeners, they'll offer a 10% discount for your first month of professional therapy. All you have to do is go to BetterHelp.com, that's BetterHelp.com/Surviving Narcissism Podcast. Now, I know that many of you would find online therapy to be quite life-changing, and so go to BetterHelp.com/Surviving Narcissism Podcast, and many thanks to the people at BetterHelp for sponsoring our podcast.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Surviving Narcissism Podcast. I'm Michelle, the Program Director, and I would like to start this episode with a quick introduction. For those of you not familiar with Surviving Narcissism, it is the product of many years of work done by Dr. Les Carter. Dr. Carter is a best-selling author and therapist with more than 40 years of experience specializing in anger management and narcissistic personality disorder. This week, Dr. C's topic is Alternatives to a Narcissist's Lack of Vulnerability.
Hey there, Team Healthy. I'm very pleased to be with you yet again, and I so enjoy you allowing me to be a part of your day as we try to figure out this whole topic of narcissism and how we're going to respond when we see it right there in front of us, or perhaps even the possibilities of it being on the inside of us. I want to talk with you today about the word vulnerability. Now, when you think of a person who struggles strongly with narcissism, do you think of them as being people who are comfortable with vulnerability? And of course, the answer is no way, heck no. Narcissists absolutely do not want to become vulnerable. Now, let me pull back and I'll speak personally, and I want you to see if this is something you can identify with. When I grew up, I was surrounded by absolutes. Do you know what I mean? There's a certain way things are supposed to be. There's a certain way you're supposed to think, how you ought to feel, how you ought to prioritize, what you're going to be known for, what you don't want to be known for. In other words, this is the way you have to do it. Here's what the agenda says. Get after it and let's do it. And if you can figure out how to present yourself well, then you win. And in the midst of that, you wind up thinking, well, if I start talking about all the other stuff that's going on the inside of myself, all that business that's rumbling around on the inside, it's curtains for me. You ever had that experience? I remember so well, and this was, I don't know, 35, 40 years ago, a buddy of mine, I was just getting into my professional life, said, you know, there's a word that I really hate. And then he goes to the word vulnerability. He said, I hate it when people say you have to be vulnerable. And I asked, well, what do you see as being the alternative then to vulnerability? He says, well, I don't know what it is, but I don't like the idea of being vulnerable because it just doesn't work out well. Well, let's see if we can figure out how to put a little bit of a different kind of perspective on that so that vulnerability is not something that's going to get you in trouble or it's going to create pain. But let's see if we can figure out how you can look at that word vulnerability in a way that's quite different than the way the narcissist looks at it. And let's see where we go. Now, in order to get us into a right place, I want to run through a series of questions. Scorching questions is what I refer to them as, that I'd like to ask the narcissist in front of me. Now, I know I probably don't have the opportunity to do that very often, but if I could, there are multiple questions that I would like to ask that narcissist. Let's see if we can get to this. One of the first questions I would like to ask is, do you remember when others refused to listen to you? How does that make you feel? I wish that we could all go back and recall times when we were children, adolescents, young adults, you know, currently wherever you happen to be in your station in life, thinking there are lots of things that I'd like to talk with people about, but I don't know if they're going to really hear me. And I don't know if I share my thoughts, if they're going to be the kind of people that will honor who I am and what I think. I don't like that. That makes me feel uncomfortable. And I'm hoping that as we look at this, we can see that many of us thought, there is no way I'm going to share my thoughts because other people are going to shame me. Other people are going to question me. Other people are going to ridicule me or maybe make fun or tell me what to do. So a question is, do you remember what it was like when no one listened to you? And then another question that I'd like to ask is, how did you come to the place of thinking that being right is so primary? Vulnerable people, people that refuse to be vulnerable, instead they think, well, I have to be right. I have to be correct. I have to be on top of it. How did you learn to think that way? What kind of influences did you have in your life that made you think that that means that you are the ultimate winner? Another question I'd like to ask a narcissist who refuses to be vulnerable, and that is, who in your life tried to control you? And how do you justify now your own attempts to control other people? When we talk about having vulnerability, we talk about dropping that control agenda. And we just kind of start with the notion that says, some things just aren't necessarily going to fit inside a tight groove. But to that narcissist, it's like, so you must have felt highly controlled by other people. And so many people, as they look back, they'll think, oh, yeah, I had a parent or I had a teacher or I had a coach or I had a peer group or I had, people at work who had it fixed as to who I was supposed to be and how I was supposed to think and how I was supposed to fit in. Oh, yeah, I know what it's like to having been felt, I know what it's like to be, to feel controlled. Then the next question is, so then if you know it from your own experiences how distasteful control is, why do you turn around and control other people? Another question I'd like to ask the narcissist, and that is, if you have to keep parts of your life secret, which they do, in fact, they famously do, what does that say about your primary influences in your life? Let's think about this. Narcissists learn that there are just lots of things about who I am that I absolutely cannot speak about. I'm not going to tell you about it. I don't want to share with you my pain or my hurt. I don't want to talk with you about my misgivings or my blunders. And it's like, how did you learn to think that way? It's like, well, you're just not going to know. And so narcissists have become keepers of secrets. They tell lies very easily. And then as you see that they've had influences that took them in that direction, my next question is, well, then why do you act in ways that prompt others to do the same toward you? Not only do narcissists keep their own secrets, but then they don't make themselves to be approachable enough to where you feel comfortable in their presence. They just keep perpetuating the very negative things that were done to them. And I'm hoping you can see that as I'm asking questions like this, it makes you realize these narcissistic individuals with their refusal to be vulnerable are operating from their own sense of pain, but they haven't come to terms with it enough to where they can make adjustments. So they just become the next person in line to perpetuate it. Okay, let's pose another question to the narcissist. And I would like to ask that person, so what is it about raw openness that you find so distasteful? And it's real easy for a guy like me who's had so many stories told to him to ask a follow-up question that's the question, what shaming experiences caused you to feel so guarded? Narcissists learned a long time ago, if I share who I am, if I express anything that's not good or ideal or going someplace in a positive direction toward me, I'm going to get crucified. I'm going to get shamed. I'm going to be told that I'm no good. It's like, so your own sense of openness or the lack of openness is due to a lot of shame then again, the question is, so then why would you become a shaming person yourself, knowing that it didn't work well with you? Narcissists, though, tend not to be introspective enough to ponder questions like that. Or another question I'd like to ask the narcissist, and that is, I know that you like it when other people show you respect. You know, narcissists are approval junkies. They just crave admiration. They want to know that other people think very highly, which is why they keep all the secrets and they only want to show you certain parts of it. So I'd ask, I know that you like it when other people show you respect. Is that right? So then why would you then choose to be disrespectful toward other individuals who have the same desire? Again, narcissists have these double standards. You need to show me respect, but I'm not going to show you respect. And what they're doing is they're perpetuating what was done to them rather than thinking, well, I had some things done to me that weren't all that good. I want to be part of the change process. No, they just keep going in the same direction that was given to them. Another question that I'd like to ask that non-vulnerable narcissist is, why is it so important for you to point out all the things that you dislike? You know, narcissists were on the receiving end of lots of criticism. So what do? They turn around and become critics themselves. How did you learn to become so pessimistic? And why do you choose to push the very thing onto other individuals that you didn't like being given to you? Why are you so critical? Now, let's just pause, and I want you to think, whenever you're around somebody that has that strong narcissistic bent, do you just have the sense that says, well, I better be careful about what I reveal or what I say, because I know that if I don't say it correctly or if I talk about something that's not on their script, I'm going to get criticized left and right? And I just find that to be very disconcerting, because it's like, you know, the narcissists themselves, they were on the receiving end of criticism, and yet they continue to perpetuate that. Another question that I'd like to ask the narcissist, and that is, you always seem to want more. Now, it could be more in the physical realm. You want more money, or you want more things, or you want more accomplishments and achievements. But other times, the narcissist, it's like their more is, well, I want more admiration. I want more of your conformity. I want more of your deference. Why is enough never enough? And you can see that this is part of their unwillingness to be vulnerable. It's like, no, the only thing I want coming in my direction is something that puffs me up and elevates me. And I hate to talk about, you know, how sometimes I just feel inadequate. I'm just constantly in a compensation mode, and that's all I'm going to give my energies over to. You're not going to know what's going on behind the scenes. Or how about another question? And that is, when other people are praised or complimented, why does that bother you? Why do you find it distasteful when someone else is being honored? Narcissists, in their need to be the best, in their need to be superior, don't really enjoy seeing other people regaled and other people being held up in high regard. In their envy, they think, well, that kind of comment needs to be toward me, not toward everyone else. Okay, so these are some questions that I wish that I could ask the narcissists in front of me. And these kinds of questions, when you look at what they imply, they illustrate how narcissists, they've developed such a low willingness to be vulnerable, and so much of their unwillingness to be vulnerable comes first from their own experiences of being with people who are highly controlling and highly judgmental and overbearing and trying to fit them into the grooves. That's that absolute way of thinking that I mentioned to you that I grew up with. And it just seems to make no sense that they would say, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do to others what was done to me, and I'm just going to perpetuate the problem. That's one of the things that is a part of the whole narcissistic pattern that, at least to me, just doesn't make sense, and yet there it is. We can do better. And here on Team Healthy, I'm hoping that we can think, you know, I see that and I know that I have that same proclivity to guard myself and not be vulnerable. And frankly, there are reasons that we don't want to open and share ourselves in fullness to everyone. Sometimes you have to remind yourself who your audience is. There are some individuals that are not capable of receiving your vulnerable disclosures. And so you do want to be judicious and discerning in how much you share about yourself to certain individuals. But as a general rule, I'm hoping you can think, I don't want to be in the same vein as that narcissistic individual. I like the idea of openness. I like the idea of approachability. I like the idea of letting individuals in my presence know that when you're with me, you're with someone that says, I want to know you in the fullest. By the way, we have a term for that. It's called empathy. I want to get in there and not just empathize with you. Yes, I want to do that, but I want to go in there and I actually want to be able to immerse myself with you and just go into your space with you and say, I want to know you and I want you to know me. I'm hoping that we can at least find ourselves willing to do that. And when the right individuals come along, in our discernment, we can say, you know, I'm going to go into that space. So as a contrast to the narcissist's unwillingness to be vulnerable, I'd like for you to be aware of my video courses. One is entitled Ready, Set, Connect. Now, narcissists are quite capable of throwing you off balance, so this course keeps you focused on the skills and the mindset that are necessary for positive connections. And inside the course, we have various modules that inside each module are lessons, and each lesson contains a video, written documents, and then questions that go along with it. We'll discuss things like how to have good conflict resolution skills, building empathy, how to be the authentic self that you need to be. If you're interested in enrolling, you can go to our website, survivingnarcissism.tv, click the link for courses. You'll find Ready, Set, Connect there, as well as the others. I hope that you would find them to be quite helpful.
And now, back to Surviving Narcissism with Dr. Carter.
Let's see if we can figure out what would be some of the better alternatives we can focus on that would put us into a much healthier space, okay? Now, I'm going to list here for you several ingredients that I see as part of the lifestyle that leads toward healthy vulnerability. The first characteristic I'm going to focus on is patience. Patience toward your own self, patience toward other individuals. You know, one of the things that I would have to do when I was in my therapy office with individuals is I would want to discern where a person is in their own change process. And there would be times when I would know that there are good goals for that person to lean into, but maybe they're not quite ready to get there yet. For example, let's say that somebody has had a very harsh influence in their life from someone else. And one of the things that I'm wanting them to recognize is, you know, when that person is being harsh and mean, we need to pull back and realize there's a reason that they're that way. And rather than responding to them with your own sense of harsh reaction, it's like, I need to figure this out. What's going on here? Well, that implies a certain patient mindset. But there's sometimes people have been so hurt and so squashed that they're not quite ready to do that. But ultimately, you want to be a kind of person that says, I know that I like it when people are patient with me. I'm going to show patience when I'm in the presence of other individuals. And by the way, this does not preclude boundaries. You can still hold on to your boundaries and you can still have your stipulations and your consequences that you apply to people. But then there can be this mindset that says, towards myself especially, I'm going to be patient, like this impatient person is not in front of me. And then as I'm able, I want to be known as someone who displays that towards others. Another healthy characteristic that is part of our sense of vulnerability and being more of a safe person is I want to develop an attitude of self-restraint. Narcissists are constantly pushing their agenda onto you. In self-restraint, I want to remind myself, maybe I'm not going to get everything that I want in the package that I want, maybe there are times when I just need to hold back some of the things that I wish that I could say and have enough discernment to know when I need to speak up and when I need to not speak up, when I need to press my initiatives, when I need to hold back. And you want to be the kind of person that has that sense that says every situation requires a different kind of response. And when I need to, I can restrain myself. When I need to, I can be assertive. And I want to have that ability to know, or that the wisdom to know the difference between the two. Another characteristics that I'm hoping that we can have that would be part of creating an atmosphere of vulnerability is the characteristic of curiosity. The narcissist is not curious about you. And so when I'm thinking about being the opposite of that, rather than thinking, well, here's how you need to be, instead I might ask, how have you become the person that you are? What are some of the ingredients that have come into play as you've developed? I want to know who you are and what your influences have been. I want to know your dreams and your aspirations and some of your hurts and some of your pains. Tell me about who you are. And then, of course, you can have a curiosity about your own self. You know, why do I respond in the ways that I do? Sometimes I become angry. Sometimes I become defensive. Sometimes I fall into place of shame or guilt that might be unnecessary. What's going on inside of me? What influences were there? When you have that willingness to delve into those kinds of topics with a curious mindset, not a fixed absolutist mindset, then your vulnerability is going to be enhanced, and hopefully others can feel like they can be vulnerable with you. Another primary ingredient that goes into the making of healthy vulnerability is humility. As a humble person, it's like, well, I know that I'm a mixed bag, and so I might as well embrace it, and I might as well embrace it honestly. The non-vulnerable narcissist is thinking, I don't do humility. I need to be seen as somebody that's impenetrable. I need to be seen as somebody who's beyond all the riffraff that everybody else has to deal with. There's an egotism that they have. There's an elitism that they can have. And in doing so, it's like the last thing I'm going to do is embrace my own humanity, much less yours. The humble person, though, says, I just need to go ahead and be honest about who I am. Maybe I have some nice accomplishments, but I also have my humanity. I know you have yours. Why don't we just be open about it as we get to know each other? I'd like that. Or another characteristic that would be a part of the more vulnerable kind of mindset is the characteristic of being non-judgmental. How many times have you thought, if I share myself with a narcissist, I'm going to be judged? Whereas I'm hoping that you can think, you know, when people are in my presence, I just don't feel the need to pronounce judgment upon them. I just want to know who they are. And I'm not going to tell other individuals you're outstanding, you're excellent, you're poor, or you're miserable without really knowing some of their backstory. Rather than judging folks, I just want to find out who are you and what's going on. I've had so many stories with people who have come to me in my counseling office, and they can tell you some really ugly things that they've done in their own personal life or that they've experienced. And when I just say, that must be rough, or that was a very difficult time in your life, wasn't it? And they begin realizing, I'm not judging you. I really want to hear you. I want to know who you are. That's when we're able to make some therapeutic strides. In order, though, for me to be able to give that to someone else, I have to think that way toward myself as well as toward them, which leads to yet another characteristic that's part of the package that allows us to be vulnerable, and that is we need to have our own sense of self-acceptance. I want to take others for what they are, but it also means that I take me for what I am. And I know that when you get to know me, you're going to get to know my highs and my lows, my pluses and my minuses, my victories and my defeats. That's just what I am. I accept the fact that that's who I am and that's what I've experienced. I want you to have that same feeling when you come into my presence. Narcissists can't think that way. And then ultimately, as we think about characteristics that allow for vulnerability to be properly in place, I want to be a person that's committed to peace. I want other individuals to know that when you come into my presence, I don't want to create more turmoil. I don't feel the need to do that. I don't want you to feel like we're in some sort of competition when you're in my presence. Let's see if we can find ways to generate a sense of peace. I get to be me. You get to be you. There's a sense of well-being that can come from that. I like that. Now, when we talk about having vulnerability, and when we talk about having the openness that goes along with it, there are some various ideas that we hold on to. One is, I know that I'm a work in progress, and I know that you are too. Let's go ahead and take that into account. Let's make that part of our understanding of each other. Likewise, we can also remind ourselves, life doesn't always fit into tight and neat grooves. Sometimes things just happen that are outside the grooves, and we have to ask, okay, there it is. I've experienced it. You've experienced it. Where are we going to go from here? Now, it leads to another primary thought, and that is, I can handle sloppiness. I don't like sloppiness. Those people that know me well know that I have a little OCD in me. I like things to be tied up and neat and in their place. But then the rest of it is, but not everything is tied up and neat and in its place. And when sloppiness comes, whether it's in my own personal life or in the lives of the individuals that are closest to me, it's like, well, here, let me put my arm around you and say, you know, welcome to humanity. Let's talk about what that means. I can handle sloppiness. We'll get there. And then another primary thought, and that is, being a safe harbor is a wonderful goal to aspire to. I want to be people's safe person. That's what I want to aspire to. Now, going back to those questions that I said that I'd like to ask the narcissist, let's remind ourselves, narcissists are not pensive. They don't like to ask, you know, who am I and how did I get to the place that I am? They have a short memory, and they don't want to own their own humanity. They don't want to talk about some of the strains and difficulties except in a complaining and griping and blaming kind of way. Then they'll talk about it. But I'm hoping that we can decide, you know, we all can find some common ground with each other if we'll simply be honest, but it does require us to be honest in a constructive kind of way, not, like I say, not in a complaining way. So I'm hoping that here on Team Healthy, we can decide that vulnerability and its resulting empathy toward others is something that each one of us needs. And so being one that needs it, I also want to be someone that gives those characteristics to other individuals. Can we do that? Narcissists, with their need for control and their being so image conscious and having to be in the superior position, will not embrace your humanity because they can't embrace their own humanity, but we can do better than that. And so I'm hoping that you're going to be the kind of person that says, I want to be pensive, I want to be thoughtful, I want to be honest and mindful about who I am. And then when you come into my presence, I'm hoping that you can feel the permission and the safety to do the same in reverse. Does that sound like a pretty good goal? Well, put some thought into all of this, and I hope this does give you some good things to think through and ponder very carefully. And this is all part of us being on Team Healthy and moving down in the direction of growth together. I hope that this will result in some good introspection on your part, and in doing so, that you'll be one of the ones that says, when you're in my presence, you're in the presence of someone safe. We need more people that can think that way. So Team Healthy, thanks for being who you are. Thanks for making the effort to be that person that says, I am committed to dignity, respect, and civility like we have here on Team Healthy. And I wish you the best as you go forward. I will see you next week as we have our next installment. I hope you have a week ahead of you that's a good one.
Thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. We're so glad to have you on Team Healthy.